studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Wednesday afternoon, and that can mean only one thing, and it's not hump day. That means that we're back again from next week, and we'll be here week after, whether you want us here or not. We're going to come back.
Back from next week?
Next week. Once that you're high on medications, in this case, I can concur, because I just had a pulled yesterday, and Now people can, when they say that I have a hole in my head, are actually speaking the truth.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm sure it feels a lot worse to you than it looks to anyone else, or I bet no one else would even notice it.
No, except for the sagging lip and the my impression of Sylvester Stallone, so.
Yeah. You still have that? That was your whatever you call it, was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was yesterday, but we won't get into my personal dental hygiene on the air. What I'd like to get into is invite everybody to give us a call, 646-721-9887. As always, if you've missed the program, you can go to the archives. We're all over the place, by the way. Blog Talk Radio provides them. All of our over 100 and some odd shows are available on Blog Talk Radio and on iTunes, KRBN. Just do a search for iTunes and KRBN. And you can always send us an email if you missed the program or have something you'd like to contribute at talk@krbnradio. Chat room is open right now, so you can join us there as well, blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. And more importantly, we'd like you for the next 90 minutes to give us a call at 646-721-9887. And I'm Robin. Over there is Cliff. And
I just found a headline which kind of threw me. A project report, the 2008 financial crisis has increased the suicide rate in the United States and in Europe. That's weird. I didn't know that. Why would anybody commit suicide because of the financial crisis? I mean, unless you're right in the middle of it and you've lost thousands and millions of dollars. And even then, I wouldn't even consider suicide. That's a waste of time.
Well,
you know
what I would like to have happen?
What?
I'd like to have $1 million and then lose it and see how that feels. But the first part, I want to get to $1 million, enjoy it a little bit, and then lose it about a day before I'm going to die anyways.
Oh, you're going to – boy, you want a lot, don't you?
I do. I'm very different.
Be able to enjoy it all of your life until you're going to die, and then you can lose it. Huh?
That's right. Speaking of going to die, here's what we're going to talk about today. Let's talk about the debt ceiling. We are going to talk about Obama's comments on the debt ceiling, and of course we're going to mention the Aaron Alexis, the shooter that's in the news today.
Yeah. I feel that was fairly important. That's 12 people, 13 people died, you know. There's only been a couple of mass shootings in the United States that killed more people than that. That's pretty important.
Yeah. We're also going to touch on, there's a movement that's starting to happen and more protests against the Obamacare. We'll touch on that a little bit today. And we're going to have ourselves another episode of What the Heck Are They Thinking? So we hope that you'll stay tuned. Give us a call. And again, if you missed today's program, of course, always send us your comments by email, talk@krbnradio.com. You can also, by the way, if you want to encourage me to keep doing this, folks, I finally got off my tushy and starting to update the Facebook page. So, again, you can address your comments there as well. If there's something in the news that you see that you'd like us to talk about, go ahead and, again, send us an email or go to the Facebook page, KRBN Radio, and check us out. Especially, go like us over there. That definitely will help as well. And tells us that you're out there and you like us and you're part of the 3,000 people per week that check us out, and we do appreciate that.
Okay, if somebody says they like us, what does that do for us?
Basically, it just increases our number, and it also sends any updates that we do on our Facebook page, it sends them to their Facebook page. So kind of a way to kind of keep in touch.
I see. How many times can you like us?
I think you can just do it one time. But you can, you can like the website one time, but you can like what we say.
I see.
Or what else people say on it. And that's how you kind of create your network, hint, hint. So.
That means I should go find where it is so I can see it.
That's right. KRBN Radio on Facebook. And yeah, check us out. You know, if nothing else, even if you hate us, like us. Give us a thumbs up.
Even if you hate us, like us.
Oh, I'm just doing numbers, you know.
Okay.
So, and we appreciate the support and feedback, and it helps us in the future, you know, plan more shows, and the money justifies the money that we spend to bring this to you. And hopefully, if things go as we hope, in 2014, we got some new and exciting things lined up. And the only way you're going to find out is to keep tuning in.
Yeah, let's assume we find assume that we know.
Yeah, that's right. See, I don't tell Cliff has to actually listen to the show to find out what's going on.
Yeah, I am. Okay. I'm not feeling very good for some reason or other. Boy, my stomach is just beating up on me right now.
Yes.
If I disappear, you'll know why.
He has announced today on the radio, doing live show program, the co-host died.
Really? No. Well, at least he felt like it.
Yeah, that's right. So what do you say we go ahead and start this thing?
Okay.
First thing I want to do is let's go ahead and, because we haven't done this as often as we should, but let's get into the what the heck.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, I don't know if this actually counts as a dumb headline, but it's just one that kind of, when I read the headline, it kind of didn't make me feel that good. And this is from the Washington Times, and it came out actually earlier today. And it says that Pledge of Allegiance skipped, Muslim poem read at the Boston School of 9/11. It says the principal of the Concord Carlisle High School in Boston issued an apology Wednesday after a Muslim poem was recited over the intercom on the 12th anniversary of 9/11 and the Pledge of Allegiance was not. The principal, and again, nobody's name is Smith, so I'm not even going to try it. Well, it looks like Bob and Lingamit. Anyway, a small number of people were outraged at the poem, which was meant to promote cross-cultural understanding, but apparently the Pledge of Allegiance was not read because of some confusion. Well, again, part of the thing that I felt was not cordial on that is that... when 9/11 happened, you know, with Al-Qaeda and everything, we just kind of have a... It just wasn't appropriate, to put it politically correct.
9/11 wasn't appropriate?
No, the fact that they didn't read the Pledge of Allegiance and they put the Muslim poem...
Yeah, they didn't explain why, huh?
No. No, they just said that it was a little bit of confusion on their part, but... Again, why did they read the Muslim poem to begin with?
Well, see, I don't mind them reading a Muslim poem, but to just forget about the Pledge of Allegiance or this is an American school, ready or not, we do that. And if we're going to stop and take time to read anything or recite anything, we've got to put that with it. That it seems to me like that's, I used to be the one that reads the information at the beginning of every day at school, and I was doing it always from the main office, and there were three or four ladies in there who all had ideas of what I should say and what I shouldn't say, but none of them ever abdicated that I not read the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, ever. And we could do a lot of other things and do a lot of weird things. And I used to do a lot of weird things. I because I've been in radio for all my life, since I was a tiny little boy. And I used to make up commercials and things, and you put them on. So, and they'd let me do most of it. I always had to play it for them first so that they knew what was going on. But they never, ever stopped me with that. They never, ever indicated that I could go without reading the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, yeah. When I was in school, that was a requirement every day of the class. So that before anything started, we would stand up and do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. That's what I used to do over the PA system.
Exactly. Well, they're stating in the article that it was the first day of the school year, and they were unaware that a student pledge reader had an internship commitment on that day, and so it was their responsibility, knowing they apologized for doing it. And apparently,
then they should have had one of the ladies in the office do it. I mean, you don't just say, "Oh, I got to leave, I got to go," and so we're just not going to do it. It doesn't take that long.
Right. No, I agree. You know, you have to have your format. And especially when you're doing it to the school's population, you know, some type of organization. And, again, you know, it's, well, they should have known that it was 9/11. It should have been related.
Well, that doesn't make any difference. You recite the Pledge of Allegiance regardless.
Uh-huh.
I don't care what day it is, how late you are, whatever it is, you just do that. I mean, even if the class has to start later, even if there's many a times we started the classes late. I mean, the first period every day was designed to be broken into, so to speak, because of our announcements.
Exactly. And I do apologize. This was September 12th, the article came out. In fact, I will... Not a very well-written article because it jumps all over the place. As I'm reading it, trying to figure out what was the poem and whatever, and they got into, and again, nobody's name is Smith. It jumps into about the communication gap, and it mentions Muhammad Karst or something similar to that. I apologize if I said it wrong. It says, "My grandmother washes her feet in the sink of the bathroom at Sears," and she tells of her granddaughter's account of watching her mother adhere to a religious Muslim custom of washing their feet five times a day. Okay, well, they have good foot hygiene.
So even if she was out shopping or something, she did that. That's interesting. I never thought about it. I don't know their customs and their beliefs and what they would do and what they wouldn't do, but I suppose you could wash your feet in Sears.
Well, I suppose so. I don't think it'd make do any harm, but I guess feet and shoes are something that the... Wasn't it the Muslims that threw the shoe at Bush? And that's
the ultimate sign of dismay.
Something like that.
Disdain, whatever. Some dis.
But in either case, they screwed up. It made headlines, and it was a little insulting to, again, the almost 3,000 people that died from the attack on the United States, and especially on the 12th anniversary of 9/11, to do that type of screw-up. And I can understand doing cross-cultural, but, you know, let's stick with the primary thing of, you know, you may be from another nation, whether you're immigrated here or are naturalized, but when you get right down to it, the United States of America is what's hosting all these other...
Well, yeah, that's like I say. You can be cross, like you say, cross-cultural, or you can do cultural things and all kinds of information and things like that. But the first thing you do is we are America. We do the American thing. And then we can do other things after that.
That's right. That's exactly right. It's just like, and I believe it is a law, like the American flag is supposed to be higher than any other country's flag on American soil.
I don't know if it's a law or not. I you know, I can, I don't see any reason why it has to be higher, but I don't see any reason why it should be lower. I mean, that's the kind of thing that I find, I don't,
well, it's out of respect.
Notice, I don't notice in the first place. I don't look at flags and think of which one is taller than the other one. I just don't, you know, if there's two or three flags up there, I just look at three flags and see what they are, I suppose. I don't get too carried away with that sort of thing. I just, but the Pledge of Allegiance in school, I do think that's a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I totally agree. Well, you know, and they talk about culture and everything else. Well, this is a direct attack on our country. It is now part of our history, and it is something that that, like they say, we should never forget. And to minimize that is that's one of the reasons why when I saw the headline, I'm going, we need to talk about this, because it's getting to be like Memorial Day, for example. And I guess I'll never forget about what I was asked one time. What is it? Why is it important to me? And, you know, we're forgetting about our country and about where it came from and the people that died to give us the freedoms, even the freedoms for Cliff and I to do this program. I mean, we take it all for granted, but, you know, if you compare it to other countries, we're very lucky that we have the First Amendment that allows us to do this. Yeah, because there are people nowadays that do want to take that away from us.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, thank God. But I think there are very few other countries. I mean, most of the free countries in the free world, we'd be allowed to do what we're doing now. I don't think there's any problem. It's not just, we're not the only one. We're just, I don't want to say we're the best one, although I do want to say that, but if I could think of a better way to say it, but I don't. But I mean, the thing is, we don't want to lose us that freedom. That's for sure.
Exactly. And speaking of freedom, which would be a good segue into one of the other segments we're talking about. But first of all, 646-721-9887. Give us a call. And like I've always said, that if you've never called a talk show before, and you're kind of scared of the Lars Larsons or the Rush Limbaughs or the bigger stuff, and you've never done it, these Blog Talk Radio and forums like we have here is a really good way to get your feet wet and wash it times a day. But seriously, to get your feet wet, you can always call us on that number while broadcasting live and listen to the program. And if you decide you'd like to join the program, you just push 1 on your phone, and it comes up on my board with your phone number, and I'll say, welcome to the program, area code so-and-so. And it's that simple. And we can have a nice little conversation going on. You, as Cliff says, you can have what you're saying, talk, discuss, and discuss or something.
Yeah, discuss and discuss. One of the things that you might want to mention, too, is that we don't get real carried away on asking you tough questions or anything like that. If you want to get on and linger on and on about your subject for a while, and unless it's something that we don't like, and there's not very many of those, you can just go on and say whatever you want to say. You know, don't be nasty about it and all that sort of thing, because then we will cut you off. But if you just got something to say, unlike other talk shows, you don't have to go with our what we're saying, what we're discussing. It can be anything. That's totally different.
Exactly. So you might as well think of it as every show is an open forum program. So if there's something that you'd rather talk about that we're not, we're more than happy to consider it. And if you call in, we'll talk about it.
Right, right.
We'll talk about anything and everything. We've proven that. And speaking of, one thing that's been going around that President Obama, we pick on him a lot because he's worth picking on. He has one thing that he's done, and he's not really happy that he's doing this, is he's starting to bring people together in ways that he didn't want. And one of those ways is like the Tea Party, which you know, of course, it's a total racist organization, according to the Obama administration. We have overpasses.org, where people are actually getting together and spending time standing up on overpasses, holding signs saying impeach Obama. We have the Impeach Obama website, which is gaining ground. And something that was brought to my attention yesterday on Facebook was a website called Truckers to Shut Down America. Well, I didn't give it too much thought. I mean, the thing that this website is offering is it says right in here on their first page of Facebook is American people are sick and tired of the corruption that is destroying America. We therefore declare a general strike on the weekend of October 11th through 13th, 2013. Truck drivers will not haul freight. Americans can strike in solidarity with truck drivers by not purchasing anything. Well, this is what's interesting. I mean, first of all, I guess I can't remember when we had the air traffic controller strike, but at that point it's also declared because this affects the nation's commerce or security or whatever, that it's illegal. Technically, it's illegal for truckers to strike. But in either case, when this was brought to my attention yesterday, this site had over 3,000 likes to it. And then when I came back to it about 2 hours later, we were up to 5,000. Well, right now, it is literally about 26 hours since it was first brought to my attention. It's already up to 33,791 likes. So that's quite a gain within a 24-hour period. And we had a person send us a note on Facebook that asking the question, are they legit? And I responded, legit or not, whether or not they'll strike or not, is not really the point. The point is that if that site reaches, say, 100,000, this is my theory, 100,000 likes within, say, 24 or you know, even a 4 or 5 day period, in other words, going viral, it gets noticed and pretty soon they get picked up by the media. And again, even if nothing happens, it's showing that more and more people are coming out and displaying their dismay of Obamacare, which is the other thing that they are talking about on this site. A lot of regulations and just a lot of things that are going on within our government to send a message to our government that, hey, you know, just like with Syria, let's give kudos to America because our Congress people, our representatives were actually receiving a ton of phone calls, and it was a ratio on average of 500-1 against going to Syria. So, you know, we're letting the government know that we're starting to pay a little bit of attention out there.
It's about time, too, because we have a tendency to be lackluster. We have a tendency to lay down on our backs and do nothing about anything and just let people walk all over us and do whatever they want to do. People, anybody with initiative can do whatever they want to. It's about time we should all stand up and, if nothing more, than sign up for a website. And this one you don't even have to sign up for, I don't think so. But just to sign it and click on something and let people know that we agree with what the website is saying. And this is, I mean, I don't think it's going to mean much because 2 days off the road, even if they do actually go off the road and stop driving and do their thing, that isn't enough because they're forecasting it ahead of time. They're letting everybody know what's going to happen so everybody can be prepared for it. I don't think that's wrong. That's fine because, you know, I don't know how else you can do it. You can't tell everybody to sign up without letting everybody know so that wouldn't work. But the thing is, it's not going to really mean anything because, you know, I'm sure you have enough food in your refrigerator to last for 2 whole days. And for that matter, most of us can probably go without eating for 2 whole days and not really miss too much of it. But it's just the idea of the thing and the fact that we're going to have a lot of people sign up for it. I would like to see a couple hundred thousand people put their name down or sign up for it. You don't actually have to sign anything. You just have to click on something and let them know that you're with them and helping them along the way. And I think that's a great idea. We need to do more of that, at least get somebody to commit to something.
Exactly. And just in the time that I've been talking about it, they've received 69 likes.
Good, good. 69 in that 2 or 3 minutes there. That's good.
So, yeah, that's the best way we can send the message is, you know, let's make this thing 100,000 by the end of the week.
And hopefully that should be easy to do at this rate. I mean, 69 and, well, that's almost a one sign, one click per second. That's not bad. How many seconds between now and the end of the week?
If you want to sit down and figure it out, you go.
I'm not that smart. I would have to have pencil and paper and all that and be able to see.
Yeah, and be able to see. Actually, they're one third there. So 66,140 more to go. And like I say, they've got most of that within, or one third of that within almost just over a 24 hour period. So I think it can be done.
Really? And it's probably going to escalate, too, as you go, because the more people that hear about it, the more people are going to hear about it, and they're probably going to tell their friends about it, and it will escalate quite quickly.
I agree. And we need more and more of these sites, and for people to just come out and just say, hey, you know, we've had enough. Because, you know, Obamacare... And the attitude coming out of the White House, which we can lead into our next segment if you're willing to go there yet, Cliff.
I'm ready.
Is Obama coming right out and just saying that under the threats of defunding Obamacare, and we're coming up once again to not having a budget and, you know, threatening to shut down the federal government, and the Obama is just saying... You blame it on the Republicans again, and lack of bipartisan. I get so tired of the word racism, and it's all the Republicans' fault. Come on, guys. It's, you know, you're both up there, both parties up there for one reason, and that is to, you know, for the health of our nation. But he's saying that he's not going to put a limit on the debt ceiling.
Well, there, it doesn't make any difference. There is no limit on the debt ceiling. We can just go out and borrow and borrow and borrow. The thing is, the only way to limit the debt ceiling and to limit the debt, for that matter, is to pay attention to what you're spending.
Right.
And that's totally up to the president, and almost. And he's the one who is the one, he goes out on a hook there, and he just spends any old thing he wants to.
Oh, yeah, just like locally here in Eugene, Oregon, they were talking about Oregon raising its minimum wage again. And they said that, and this just made total sense to me, they were talking about that by raising the minimum wage, that's going to put an extra $249 into the consumer's pocket to spend. However, they did not take into consideration how it would have on the increase in cost of general goods and services, because the labor panel or whatever panel that went ahead and thought it was a good idea to raise minimum wage doesn't take that into consideration.
They never do. They never consider the fact that when you raise the amount of money that people have to spend, they do spend it, and then they need more money yet to spend. It's a vicious circle, and it always has been. So, you know, minimum wage actually means nothing. Well, it does for a short period of time, because when the people who get the extra money from the wages first get it, they've got probably a month or two that they're ahead of the game, and then everybody else catches up and charges more, and they're beyond the game. And so if they just leave it alone and leave it where it was, it would work just fine. It wouldn't help one way or another to raise or lower the minimum wage. So... you're not going to do anything for us. It's not going to do anything to us. I mean, we all well know that. I mean, this is, you'd think that we were, as American public, you'd think that we were stupid. It's not that we haven't done this before and before and before and before.
Well, it's just like they don't know anything about economics. I mean, it's just like, for example, raising a tax. And they say it's going to raise this much income, but they consider everything being linear. It's like, like cigarette tax, for example, which is sometimes called a sin tax. They say, okay, well, currently, I'm just going to throw some numbers out there that I just made up because it's easy. Let's say that we're basing it, let's say in Oregon, we have 100,000 smokers. And so we're going to add an extra dollar per carton onto the sale of cigarettes. And so with that, we're going to make an extra $100,000 in revenue on taxes. Again, assuming everything's linear. What they don't take in consideration, well, that extra dollar might be enough for people to not buy as many cigarettes. So therefore, that $100,000 then drops down to maybe $80,000 because 20,000 people are now starting to buy less.
Right. That's the beginning part. So you have some people who will not fill in that debt spending. They're going to buy less of what you're worried about. The thing is, there are a lot of other people who are going to spend money somewhere else. And there are also a lot of people who are just don't really care, and they're just not going to smoke at all. There's so many different options, and they only use the one option when they're figuring the numbers.
Yeah, and speaking of numbers, by the way, I sound like we're doing a marathon here. That site, by the way, has increased 226 likes.
That's good. That's good. It won't take it long at all to get to 100,000 by the end of the week.
Yeah. Pretty soon I'm going to be doing my Jerry Lewis imitation, yeah.
Really?
Hey, lady, get out there and put your likes in.
I'm not going to say anything. I was good friends with Jerry Lewis, and I used to do the telethons all the time. So that's back in the good old days.
Funny, I don't remember you being there. But then again, I didn't watch him all the time either. I know.
Well, I wasn't at the national thing. I was at the regional, which I don't know if you should have got him. Maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You being a celebrity, you know, the voice of Cottage Grove.
At that time, it was probably, what was it? The voice of Everett.
The Everett. You were the Everett voice. But that kind of leads back into, you know, President Obama's attitude. Well, I'm not going to put a limit. I'd like to have a credit card that I have no limit on as well. And then when it comes time to, when the credit card company says, well, you know, you need to start paying this bill here. Well, I'd love to, but, you know, I really just don't have the money. Will you please increase my debt?
Well, that's the thing that he can do that we can't. And I believe there should be some sort of, we should be thinking of some sort of a law. And I believe, and I don't like to add laws, but here I would like to add a law that would limit to what the president, he has to stay within what he has to spend. Mm-hmm. In other words, if he can't raise the taxes and get the money up front, then he can't spend it. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care right now. In other words, he's in October, the nation's going to run out of money because we spent all of the money that we raised. But he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He'll go ahead and borrow money somewhere and go ahead and spend it anyway.
Well, here's what and this is from Reuters. When he's talking about it, he says, and this is a quote, let's stop the threats. Let's stop the political posturing. Let's keep our government open. Let's pay our bills on time. Let's pass a budget, Obama said. It's like, budget? They, as far as I know, they haven't passed a budget in a couple of years.
He finally did submit one, I believe. But
he submitted it was rejected unanimously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't say he submitted it and it was accepted. It was absolutely, totally, woefully dismal budget. But the thing is, he did do it, at least. Originally, in the first several, quarters or whatever they are, fiscal plans or something, he didn't even bother to submit anything. But this time he did. And then he actually did it in writing. So, but the thing is, I believe that he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what's happening. He doesn't come up with these ideas. He doesn't come up with the budget. He doesn't come up with any of this stuff. He has people who are supporting him, he thinks, that are coming up with these ideas. And then he just puts his signature on them. I don't believe they're doing him any good or any favors. They're actually, he's just being used, and he doesn't know it. He doesn't understand it. I think perhaps he may be beginning to understand it. That's why he's saying a little bit more that he himself is saying, but he still doesn't understand how much he's being used. And it's really kind of sad in a way, but it's not sad as far as I'm concerned because he's too dumb to know.
Well, you know, on that note, Politico made an interesting statement on their website, and I never thought about this. They're actually more or less questioning Obama's mental health.
I would say the only reason I disagree with that is I don't think his mental health has changed. I don't think it ever was very good.
Yeah. Well, like I said, is that Obama is smart. He's getting what he wants.
No, I disagree. He's not smart. I don't think he is smart. He thinks he's getting what he wants. He isn't smart enough to know that he isn't.
Well, here's the thing is that here's where we're having a little bit of friction. Because he said right in the 2008 debate that he had a vision for America. The bad thing about it is that his vision doesn't share the rest of our visions.
Well, that's true. And his vision for America is for him to run it.
Right.
And that just doesn't happen in America.
Exactly. No, I totally agree. And forget about traditions. Yeah, America is not perfect. You know, we've come a long ways, and we got some parts in our past that we are totally embarrassed about. But it comes to a point of when do you stop apologizing for it and move on?
Yeah, I agree. And we've got to move on from Mr. Obama.
Right. I mean, I thought we were moving ahead as far as race. But like somebody pointed out, is that when Clinton was in office or the Bushes were in office, you know, if you made fun of them, it was kind of expected because that's just one of the things that goes along with the position. But you make fun of Obama, you're a racist.
Yeah, I haven't caught that quite so much as you seem to have. I just don't look for it at all. I am so far not a racist that I don't even think about it. But we need to get him out of there.
Yeah. Well, I think what we need to do is that, I mean, even our impeachment process, even Glenn Beck now is going on air and saying we need to impeach him because he's apparently getting ready to send weapons or something to, I have to go back to the article to look at, but Glenn Beck's making noises. Well, Glenn Beck always makes noises. Most of the time, I don't even listen to him. But
it really bothers me that you ever listen to him.
Well, the local radio station here has this thing about they like to run reruns of things that you don't like to hear. Like they've even been starting to run Alex Jones.
Don't know who he is either.
He's one of those fear mongers, and it's always fun to listen to him because he'll have somebody on, and it's one of those used car salesmen, in my opinion, people that, well, I really think that, you know, UFOs, and you think UFOs might be real? Yeah, I know it's been real, and the government has been hiding it for years. Well, I wasn't really going to say that, but, you know, and I know you totally agree with me, and it's, hey, what else is on? Oh, wait, what other stations to listen to? Damn it. Well,
yeah, I don't listen to AM radio at night.
Yeah.
I totally cheat. I listen to a radio station that no one else can get, and that's my own radio station. I have a little transmitter in the back room back here that transmits to the block, and I can anywhere I want to in bed or wherever I happen to be, I can turn the radio on, listen to it, and it's old-time radio shows that I listen to all the time.
Yep. Broadcasting live from Cliff's bedroom to the neighborhood.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. Old-time radio shows, and there are so many. You got it's absolutely amazing how many old-time radio shows there are. There are at least 100,000 of them. You could sit there and listen to them for every night, all night for years and never get through them.
Yes.
And I only get through one or two before I go to sleep. See, that's what happened last night. I'd wake up and I'd hear something that was pretty good, and I'd start listening to it, and then I'd fall asleep before it was over. I never hear the end of these shows. I just hear the beginnings of them. And over, I hear the beginnings of them. So it's rather frustrating at times, but it's fun.
Exactly, where you'd hear the, I'm bringing it up on my slow computer. I think it knows I'm getting ready to get rid of Windows.
Okay. You're getting ready to get rid of Windows?
Well, my computer and I have been having an argument, and you can't win when it comes to computers. But, it, you know, who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
Yeah. That's one of the... I don't actually come to think of it. I don't listen to that one. But there's so many more. There's so many more different... I mean, there's comedy, there's drama, there's murder mysteries. There's probably more of those I listen to than anything else. I mean, everybody's getting murdered, it seems.
Yeah, they need to stop.
Well, that's no big thing, because it doesn't... It's, you know, that's like one that's on now. It starts out, the whole program starts out with a gunshot and the fact that this guy has just been killed. And how does he know he's been killed? Because it's him that's commenting on the show and is still alive and one of many, many lives that he lives, that he keeps living over and over and over again. So it's crazy, but it's fun. Anyway, sorry.
That's okay. Like I said, we'll talk about anything and everything. You can also still give us a call, 646-721-9887, assuming that in my usual bitch and moan, because we're only paying for the service, that we get buried on Blog Talk Radio's front page, and we're very hard to find on their website. But other than that, if you do happen to stumble onto us, somehow you stumbled onto us, 646-721-9887.
Well, about the easiest way to stumble onto us is just to go to Caribbean Radio and write on Google, and you'll get to us.
Exactly. Just remember those four little letters, KRBN, and you will find us.
Right? Yep.
We are here, there, and everywhere, and we are growing, too, thanks to you. So we do appreciate it. So keep those cards and letters coming in. Send money.
Yeah, that would be nice, too. I could handle money.
Exactly. But going back to what we're saying on the debt ceiling is just, I get so, every time you read about the debt ceiling, anything going on in Washington, almost, I don't know, has Obama gone 1 week without blaming something on the Republicans or on the previous administration?
Well, no, because he can't blame it on himself. He's not going to blame it on himself. And he's, see, if he does, if it's simply, see, he doesn't make mistakes, you understand. Uh-huh. And the reason he cannot make mistakes is because he doesn't have any ideas. He doesn't have an idea of his own. They're all somebody else's ideas, and he assumes that the people that are giving him ideas know what they're talking about. And that's not necessarily the case.
Well, and one thing I'd like to add to that is, like with the polls and everything else, talking about Obamacare and how it's actually going to affect every individual, he still thinks it's the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah. Well, again, we've already determined, I believe, that almost anybody who takes over the office is probably going to do what they can to get rid of the Obamacare, or at least radically change it so that it works. One of the things that he hasn't realized, or maybe he has realized a little bit of it, is that this thing has not allowed you to keep money. It's taking money from you. And it's something that's been happening on a regular basis. And so, you know, we're down to the nitty-gritty. In October, we're going to have $50 billion in cash on hand to run the United States. Of course, that's not all there's going to be, because $50 billion, you'd think it's quite a bit, but not when you're running a country as big as the United States. Yeah. But that doesn't count the money that comes in each month on taxes, and there is some money that's coming in all the time. But $50 billion is basically what we're saying we have. But we can roll that over and just not spend. We can just, for October, November, December, if we've got a couple of months, we could just not spend any money. That could happen. And not everything would stop. It would just, a lot of things would stop, but they would only delay things, which they were going to do anyway. So why just not spend it?
Well, one thing that's definitely obvious, like especially after the, I'm going to call it the embarrassment of Syria, where Obama, and this is the thing, he has to be really careful. If he talks in his sleep, it's recorded. The comment he made about a red line, crossing the red line, now he's claiming that, no, he never said it, that it was the media and the Republicans that said it. And, of course, they have tapes saying that he said it. And in comments written about him not negotiating on the debt ceiling, some are saying, well, I'm wondering if this is another red line. Tune in later for updates.
There are people saying that. But, the red line thing, he did say it. But he didn't say it as fervently as did the Israeli leader did it. He said it sort of obscurely. He just kind of mentioned it, but now he's being held to the point of that. But the thing is, you've got to come up with a plan. You've got to be able to think on your feet, and I don't really think he's very good at that.
No, it's like the battle between Bugs Bunny and Yosemite Sam,
Yeah.
And I dare you to cross this line, Doc, and this line,
really,
and what happens? He always falls off the cliff.
Really? And he's about there. He's about there. Yep. I it's really sad, but it really is the case. It's too bad that we have, among all the other things we've got to worry about in this day and age, and there's plenty of them, we've got to worry about our own president.
Yeah. I mean, it's embarrassing. I mean, people defecting from our own country. I'm talking about Snowden. And what's even more embarrassing is that the Syria deal, it was the Russian president who was the one that was talking more of peace than we were. And what we've talked about on the show before is that one of these days we're going to stick our nose in something and it's going to backfire big time.
Okay, you you made two statements there. You were talking about Snowden defecting from the United States. I wouldn't consider Snowden as a...
He sought amnesty from Russia.
I wouldn't even consider him a human being. I don't like to even consider him at all. He did do that, but he didn't defect. He was not allowed in. And there's a lot of difference there. But that man is an idiot also.
Well, like you pointed out, is that whatever secrets that he gave out, it was changed and invalidated probably the moment that he even mentioned it, even before he mentioned it. But the whole point was that it opened up a can of worms that embarrassed the government to the point that even the Russians were saying, we're going to go back to typewriters because they're a lot harder to steal the information when it's just typed out on paper.
Well, if you look and pay close attention, you'll find that nobody, I don't want to say this, nobody of importance, nobody that knew what they were talking about, even mentioned all the whatever Snowden gave away, because it just wasn't anything of interest there. There were things that we didn't want to have known, but they weren't that important. Just weren't that important. And the other thing is, President Obama, he doesn't know what's going on around him. He doesn't know enough about he has his idea of what America should be like, but that's just an idea, and it's not based on anything real. It's only based on what he has had in his mind in the past. I mean, he's never held a job other than a job that was given to him by the government. He has never held a job, and never held one all the way through. This is the only thing that supposedly at this time he will finish, and only because he really, in all common sense, should not be doing anything now. He should be just sitting back and letting it happen. It's over already. He's already gone through one time. You know, he's served his time. And now he should be sitting back and just letting things happen and signing forms here and signing forms there, whatever is required to have a presidential signature or something on it, and letting something else. You know, we should be probably ready to start the next campaign. Huge. I know it's kind of sad to think that the people running for office are going to be running there for 4 years. Now it's three, I guess. But it's still an awful long time. But we should have some sort.
Well, you bring up a good point. How many people in high-level government have actually ever held a job? You know, they go into school or whatever, come out of school, go right into public service, are interested in the politics, and you know, how many of them have actually held a job and really know the real economics of the system? Or like I was saying earlier, it looks good on paper, you know, like the thing about the minimum wage increase. Yeah, you know, on paper, you know, if everything's linear, yeah, it looks like this. If I do this, cut this budget like that. Well, unfortunately, life is not linear.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the ecosystem. You know, you may hate mosquitoes and want to and think, oh well, if we just get rid of all mosquitoes, life would be a lot better. Well, yeah, it would be for us because nothing would be biting us. Unfortunately, mosquitoes are important in the food chain.
What do mosquitoes do?
Well, other than carry malaria and other diseases.
mosquitoes may have been a bad. The thing is,
mosquitoes are a food source for stuff too. So you eliminate that, and you eliminate food source for certain species, which also are a food source for another species, and it just gets
that. That's true. For that matter, you could eat mosquitoes and they don't bother you. I've eaten them, not on purpose.
Okay, I was going to say, you know, there's a little salt and pepper, you know.
Well, a very little salt and pepper, one grain of salt, one grain of pepper, and you've already overdone it.
Yes.
Mosquitoes are very small.
They are very small.
Anyway.
Yes, you're in Florida where even the cockroaches you can ride. But
yeah. Some cockroaches I've been around you can ride. Boy. I refused to go to a friend's house because a great big huge cockroach on the front yard in the front walkway jumped up and flew by me, and it had to be 5 inches, 6 inches long, and I swear to God, there's no way in hell I was going to go visit this guy. I just turned around, got back in the car, and drove away, and called him on the phone and said, sorry. You're going to have to come visit me if you want to see me.
That's right. Yeah, if you have, because usually the word is if you see one cockroach, you have 1,000 of them. So if you have 1,000 cockroaches that side under your bed is moving.
Yeah, really? No kidding. Yeah. No, I have lived through cockroaches. I lived in Southern California for a while, and I lived through a cockroach area. Yeah, but you can do something about getting rid of them. But if the guy lives there and he's lived there more than a week and hasn't gotten rid of him, then it's too late, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But I realized that I moved into a place, a trailer once. I lived in a trailer, and a rented trailer, by the way, and there were cockroaches there. But as soon as I realized that they were there, and they didn't, they were quiet, and they didn't come out except at night. And I happened to get up one night and go and get a glass of water and turn the light on, and wow, there they were.
Exactly.
And so the very next day, the rodent people, whatever they were, I called them out, and they came out and they tented the place and got rid of them. And
so you see, folks, from presidents to cockroaches.
It was just, I just hate that. I hate that.
And let me interrupt you for just a moment there, Cliff, because...
Broadcasting live from Eugene, Oregon, with a roundtable discussion of today's news, here's Robin.
With an announcement that since I mentioned the trucker shutdown to America roughly about 30 minutes ago, has grown 882 likes within that short period of time.
882. Wow, that's good. That's good. And of course, you know, that's going to be, and it's exponentially going to grow because more people are going to tell more people about it, and then more people are going to go look at it. And you don't have to buy anything. You don't have to sign anything. You just have to click on it.
Just go to the website, Truckers to Shut Down America on Facebook, and just click on the like button and show your support.
Yeah.
Send that message that any way you can that, you know, we're tired of Obamacare. We're tired of the government telling us what to do. We're tired of, like with the shooter in Washington, whatever, the Aaron Alex gun. You know, they're already coming out and they're saying, don't let a crisis go to waste, and shooting for gun control. And pardon me, that didn't come out right, shooting for gun control.
Well, you know, that's another thing that we could... Of course, we don't need to talk about it, but I don't know if I'm for or against gun control.
Well, most people, that the majority of usage with guns is not done by a person holding a concealed carry card.
Well, most of the people that do things with guns don't even do them with legal guns.
That's my point. Very seldom that somebody that has a concealed carry actually goes out and does something. It's usually the people that have a concealed carry are the ones that interfere with people that don't have the concealed carry that are actually causing the problem.
Yeah.
There's many cases of in fact, NRA News or whatever, almost on a daily basis, comes out and points out what they call the hero of the day, where some crime was thwarted.
Thwarted.
Yeah, thank you. I have a hole in my mouth. Uh-huh. It's not the usual one. About where somebody was stopped because they happen to have access to a gun or a gun on them.
Really?
Now, I can see, I have no problem with the background checks, and I have no problem with the fact that if, you know, if you got a violent criminal history, you should be denied one, of course, or whatever. But to come out and just say, no, we're going to take your guns away, period, make it illegal for you to even own a gun, totally against that.
I don't think that's ever going to happen in this country. This country was born and raised on guns. It's not like Europe. They were not, I guess we could say we're not sophisticated like them, but we were born and raised on guns. Guns were part of our history and a part of our background, and they're just not going to go away that easily. We're actually having less problem, I think, with guns right now than we have ever in our history.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that Americans are saying, you know, you're not taking my guns away. I'm sorry. It's just like if you came out and said, like in Eugene here, we're gonna take your ducks away, which is the football.
Oh, those ducks.
Yeah, those ducks. Not the quack quacks, but the ones that carry the odd shape.
The quack quacks.
Yeah, they're quack quacks. But, you know, if you threaten to take football away, people are going to be up in arms. You know, well, we can't do this because he might get hurt. So we're going to take it away and whatever. Or Michelle Obama might come out and say, well, you know, it's causing obesity. Who knows? Anyway, or are just going to say, you know, no, I'm not going to do it.
Guns are causing obesity. I love it. I suppose you shoot enough things and eat them, then that would cause obesity. But,
well, they are changing. I can't remember what town it was, but there was one that was known for their football, high school football, I believe it was. And I mean, it was a long tradition in this town, and I wish I could remember the name of it. And they decided that was too violent. People are getting hurt, so they changed it to touch football. Or touch football, whatever.
I see. Yeah, everybody's getting all upset. We're getting a little too PC in our world, in a lot of instances, and that's. But if that's the worst thing that's happening in this country, I can live with it.
Well, unless you're a diehard football fan that likes to, you know.
Well, a lot of diehard anything fan. I mean, we're too politically correct about everything. We're careful. We can't say anything. We have to be very careful of what we say. It's unbelievable all of the things we have to watch out for because we're being politically correct.
Well, I'm sorry, you're racist.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Because I mentioned it.
That's right.
Senator Rand Paul's wife is about to talk out about whether she wants to see him running for the Republican Party's White House bid. I think he has the best chance of becoming president of anybody on the what I think will be the list of candidates coming up.
Well, yeah, that's 2016, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. How's that for changing the subject?
I love it. this time, okay, our last election was an embarrassment, especially on the Republican side. There's so many grandstandings by people that were just trying to promote themselves. That
no, I don't think so.
Oh, the Sarah Palins, the Donald Trumps, you know, and it just drew attention away. But it also showed how desperate we were for a viable candidate that we were actually interested in the Donald.
We weren't actually interested in the Donald. He was interested in making his name, and he didn't get anywhere. He didn't really accomplish anything with what he did. He did, maybe, I guess, some people who may not have heard of him before would have heard of him at this point. But I don't think he accomplished anything. As far as Sarah Palin is concerned, she didn't know what she was doing. But she has pretty much, I think, eliminated her chance of doing anything else. And that's the only thing that she's done. I don't think we had too many people in the... I don't think Sarah Palin and only the people who were seriously running for office actually continued on.
Well, there's a lot of distractions, and I don't know.
That's all right. That's okay to have all that distraction. We need to let everybody have their say so.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, we can't just, if we just listen to four people or three people or the people that are being serious about it or think they're being serious about it, we don't have any alternatives. I'd like to, you know, I'm quite happy. I'm sure we'll have again this time five or six candidates that are going to run, and they're going to run until they realize they're being stupid, and then they'll drop out or just run out of steam, and then we'll have the real people left in there. But Rand Paul, the thing I like about Rand Paul, All his life, he's being groomed for one of these positions. I mean, Ron Paul has been running for office since before Rand Paul, I think, was even born. So if he doesn't have the ability to run for office and win, then there's a problem there.
Well, that could be. Like I say, it's just, I don't know who'd really be a good candidate.
He's the only one that I can see running for the office at this particular, that has put his foot in the door. I don't know that he really has. He hasn't even said he would, but I don't believe for a minute that he won't. As he sends, I don't know if you're on his mailing list, but he sends me information every day almost. About this or that or the other. He's constantly got an opinion about something, and he doesn't mind telling people about it. So I'm pretty sure that he's going to run. And the thing is, I don't agree with everything he says. I don't agree with maybe half of what he says, but probably that half of what I disagree with, or that I agree with, rather, is more than half of what I would agree with other people. So
I agree with your agreement on agreement. But why don't we agree on giving out the phone number real quick? We have 25 minutes remaining in the program, and Cliff, after you do that, you want to touch a little bit more on the shooting?
646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call if you have information or if you have something you want to talk about, and it doesn't have to be on what we're talking about, or it can be if you want to. 646-721-9887. And if you think we're saying something wrong, if you think we've got the information wrong, you can talk to us and tell us that too. 646-721-9887. And, you know, speaking of the shooting that took place over the, well, it was actually Monday, I think it was, that it took place Monday and Tuesday. I was going to say over the weekend, but it really wasn't. There's this guy that did the shooting, this Aaron Alexis.
Mm-hmm.
He had, everybody was worried for the first day that the information was on the air, how he got into that building. He had a ticket. He had a badge. He had access. He was access to the building, and he was allowed in there. He was supposed to be in there. There was nothing wrong with him being in there, but what was wrong was that he took a weapon with him, and decided, you know, they're still talking about why would he do this. The man is crazy. The man is not mentally well. I mean, that's the best way I can put it. But he is crazy, and you can't decide why or why not a crazy man would do something like this. You've just got to accept it. Now, granted, I understand it's hard to accept when you've got 13 people killed. That's including himself, by the way. He killed 12 other people. But the thing is, when you've got that many people that are dead, it's hard to take, but you can't stop it. I don't care what you say or who you are or what you do. I don't care what kind of badge you give him or what kind of inspections you give ahead of time to find out if he's good or bad or different. Although this guy had a lot of things about in his past that should have been cause to think hesitantly about letting him have a badge. But, you know, it was too late. He was there and he had it. And to try to decide why he did it, you can't do that. You can sit there and rack your brain until there was nothing left of your brain, and you're not going to come up with an answer because there's just no answer to it. He doesn't probably know or didn't probably know why he was doing this. But he could have, you know, it could have been something that just happened on out of a clear blue sky. He could have been ticked off for some silly little reason and gone bananas about it. Who knows? Could have been somebody said something to him. Somebody did something to him. It could have been anything that set him off and put him on. And once you got him in there with a gun and shooting people, and he knew the building. He knew that the building had a big atrium in the middle of it. He could shoot down at the people and be pretty well secure up there, at least for a while. And it was just nothing anyone could do about it. So he had the opportunity to shoot those people. And, you know, for us to try to protect ourselves at another building or any other building, anywhere else in the United States, for us to try to protect ourselves is crazy. You can't protect yourselves from people who are nuts. You can't do it. I mean, you could be sitting there and the mind does crazy things. Sorry. And you can't decide. You can pretty well have a good idea, but you can't finally decide what the mind is going to do. And especially, I really think that they could have spent a little more time, because the news people who looked this up and who got the information about him were absolutely astounded at how easy it was to get information about this man once they went out and looked for it. And yet the government offices that gave him the okay on his badge and ability to go in didn't do that for some reason or other. I mean, it was just too easy to do. So we do have to maybe scrunch down a little bit on how easy it is to get those licenses and how easy it is to get those clearances. But, I have to say, I was in one of those positions of having that clearance. And I think it was perhaps just somebody who let down their guard. Because as I recall, having to go through getting those clearances was quite difficult and took quite a great deal of time. And it took like 2.5-3 months for me to get the clearance that I got. There were, I don't know how many people. And I will have to say, this was a long, long time ago, so I don't remember exactly what it was. But I remember I was absolutely amazed because people were out asking other people about me. People who knew me, people who didn't know me, people who were just my neighbors, not my friends. People who were my friends and not my neighbors. They were all asked questions. I mean, there were many, 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 many people that they asked questions of, and it wasn't a game. It just absolutely, definitely wasn't a game. So if they didn't have the information about this guy, it's because either they had been there so long that they stopped worrying about him, or they didn't go about finding it. They didn't go looking for it. And they're going to have to make some sort of a change in their procedures about how they go out and dig deeper, but don't stop digging ever, because the person may, well, how do you can't tell. How can you tell? The person may change, but that's the reason why you should dig deeper and continue to be digging deeper. We need to put more people, hire more people in the position of information, I guess, whatever you want to call it.
Well, even then, there's no guarantee. Like, what's interesting is when you read the news from other countries, like, for example, the BBC is talking about this, and they're saying that the, I'm quoting here, one of the first teams of heavily armed police to respond to Monday's shooting in Washington, D.C., was ordered to stand down by superiors. And they're saying that the outcome could have been a lot different if they were allowed to assist. But they're also stating, too, that how he got his weapons is that he took it away from one of the guards there.
And yeah.
He was armed with a shotgun and a pistol he took from a guard he had shot. He sprayed bullets down the hallway and fired from a balcony down to the workers in the atrium.
Yeah, it's one of those deals where you just can't anticipate what's going to happen. You simply cannot anticipate it. And I as much as I say we should have more people digging for information, yet there's a limit to how many people you can have, and how far should you dig, and how long should you keep digging, and how many times over his life. I mean, he had lived worked there for a while. It wasn't something he had just started doing. He had been there for a while. He'd had that security clearance for some time, and you'd think that, well, you just don't know when somebody's going to just spark something in their head and they're going to go bananas. And it could be just anybody. Anybody could do that. I'll stop talking now about that anyway, because I'm gonna start giving information that I think maybe I shouldn't. But the point is, you can't expect everybody to act the same all the time. And just because they were fine yesterday doesn't mean they are today.
Exactly.
They can go rogue instantly, and about any, and it could be anything that could to set him off. Anything. I mean, you don't know what happened that make him think worse. But the thing is, he didn't do this just at the drop of a hat. He brought the weapon with him. Now, the one weapon he stole from somebody who was another deal, but he brought the weapon with him. He didn't come in unarmed.
By the way, I would like to give a quick update on the Facebook website, Truckers to Shut Down America, because I just checked it again. Since we've been talking about it now, it'd be about a little over an hour. This site has grown by 1,393 likes within the last 60 minutes. And that is the Truckers to Shut Down America strike, which is on Facebook, which, again, they're asking for a general trucker strike between October 11th through the 13th. And again, whether or not that happens, go to that site, like them, send a message, see if they can make it go to 100,000 by the end of the week. It's already jumped up. When I saw it yesterday at roughly around this time, you know, about 12 o'clock Pacific time, it was just a little over 3,000 likes. And so it has literally grown over 30,000 likes in a 24-hour period, making it just a little over one-third to the goal, or at least my goal of 100,000. It's not my website, but, you know, even if no truck strike happens, go to that website, Facebook site, truckers2shutdownamerica.com. They're protesting Obamacare rules and regulations and other things going on. It's not just about truckers, but go to that website, give them a like, and let's see if we can make that thing go viral and hit it 100,000.
Well, I'd like to encourage them to do their strike. I would like to encourage them to do their shutdown. I don't really think it's going to be very effective or do much of anything for them, but at least it's something. And then to give them time then to sit back and think of something that's even more effective than that. I don't know what it would be just offhand, but this is not a bad start. I mean, this is a good beginning, and it would at least the website itself lets people know that there are a lot of people behind them, a lot of people working with them.
Exactly.
I don't know how many truckers there are in the United States, but even if all the just truckers signed up, that's a good number of people, I think.
I think so. Between 3 and 5 million truckers on the road right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, but, you know, that's the lifeblood of America is trucks. But, again, it's not just related to trucks. It's basically about the regulations and how the, again, let me read the description. It just says that the American people are sick and tired of the corruption that is destroying America. We therefore declare a general strike on the weekend of October 11th through 13th, 2013. Truck drivers will not haul freight. American can strike in solidarity with the truck drivers by not purchasing. So consumers will not buy a truck thing on this day. Stay home, buy nothing.
Now, that's a thought there. If everybody stopped and stopped purchasing anything, even, I granted, it's only 2 days, but if everybody stopped, just absolutely stopped for 2 days, that would show up and it would wake people up a little.
Now, people are asking, you know, first of all, again, I don't have the regulations in front of me. It's illegal to for truckers to go on strike, but it's not legal for them to call in sick. But again, it's just like overpasses.org and Keith Obama's websites and others like that. That we got a lot of background on this side.
Well, it's not illegal for truckers to ask other people to support them and to not buy things. There's nothing that they can do about telling us we have to buy something.
Right, but what it does is it sends a message that people are getting tired, and they're, even just by clicking the like button, is doing something. I mean, we can sit around and preach to the choir all day long, and that does nothing. It sends no message at all. But by actually coming out and just doing a little thing, like clicking a like button on a website and showing 100, 200, 300,000 people at least saw this and is in agreement, it kind of gives a little bit of an indication about how the peasants feel about how our overloads are managing us.
Really?
And that's a comment in itself when you think about it.
Well, it's interesting. It's something that isn't hard to do and doesn't take a lot of time, doesn't take any money. I'm sure. I don't know if there's any place on that site to donate money.
Well, they're not asking for money.
That's what I mean. But I rather imagine if you wanted to give it to them, they wouldn't turn you away. I mean, of course, because, you know, everybody thinks, well, maybe a website just can't be expensive because there's so many of them. Well, it does cost money to build a website, and it isn't free. And it isn't free to keep it there either.
Yeah.
So.
Well, like I said, it's one more site to basic Americans like you and me that are just coming out and just saying, you know, we've had enough. thanks to this fad called the internet, it gives Americans the first time in history really a way to express how we really feel instead of relying totally on our representatives. Like Harry Reid coming out and going, well, Americans feel this way. How do you know? Have you ever asked? Who do you ask? Do you ask people inside your little circle of friends that are all doing pretty good? Or do you ask the guy on the street that's working minimum wage job and all he's seeing is his taxes and other expenses going up and he can't afford to even sometimes buy food?
It's true. The internet has changed the way we do things. I'll say that. But it's changed the way we even think about doing things. We can get our ideas across in ways that we have never been able to do before. And I hope we do nothing ever to shut down or control or the website or the web and internet itself, because I know there's been a lot of that thinking going on, and let's hope it doesn't happen, because that would be just too bad. There's just too good a thing we've got going through here.
Exactly. I mean, there's just too much stuff going on, too much diversity, too many games. And it's just, it's minimizing the seriousness of everything. I mean, again, my prediction, like Obamacare, for example, there's a regulation that's going into effect for employers October 1st, which is that even though they've extended the requirements for a lot of things by 1 year, however, if employers, even if they have one employee, does not give you the form stating your rights or whatever amongst what Obamacare is, they can get fined for doing it. A good example, like with the owner-operators, there's a lot of regulation that people don't realize. Even when I was driving a truck, there's a lot of stuff I didn't realize and still don't realize about, for example, when I was driving truck, I never counted the pages in my permit book alone, but there was a ton of pages of just permits for this, that, and the other thing, and some things that we had to get permits for that you're going, I had to get a permit for that. And, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. There are more rules and regulations in the trucking industry alone that is just unreal. And if you're an owner-operator, you're covering all the permits, you're covering all the fees, you're covering, they're wanting to raise the insurance requirements to almost, I forget the exact figure, but it's triple the amount. And it's just getting more and more, plus you have expenses, plus the emissions fees, the EPAs, and everything else like that. And as an owner-operator, you're responsible for everything. You bought the truck, the expenses, the repairs, the taxes, the licenses, and now you're going to throw on top of this the Obamacare requirement. You're already living on a shoestring as it is. In a lot of cases, now you're going to be required to purchase qualifying level of health care, which can cost from $300 to $1,000 a month on top of everything else that you have. And you're going to be forced to do it or face a penalty that can be upwards to over $2,000 at the end of the year.
Now, this whole thing takes effect starting next year, right?
Actually, coming up in this tax year, when you do your taxes in January, you're going to start seeing some penalties that are starting to be imposed. It's going to come in gradually. It'll be in full effect 2016, and that's when you can get the maximum fine of literally about $2,100 if you don't have qualifying health care, unless you come under one of the few exemptions of it.
Now, it's kind of too bad that it's going to happen so soon. It's too bad we couldn't wait until Mr. Obama is no longer in office, and then we could do something about it. But at this particular point, he's still going to be there when we're having to do something. So it overlaps. But I don't believe that this whole thing is going to stay there, or this whole thing is. And he's already deciding to change some things in it and make it easier. He is aware a little bit, I think, or at least to people that are pulling his strings. I guess that's the way we'll put it. Because I do believe there is somebody pulling his strings. But I believe that they're going to become more and more aware of what's going to happen. And the thing is, maybe they aren't about to leave. Maybe they don't have a period of time. Maybe they're there for beyond that. Maybe they're not there for a specific time, and they don't want things to go their well, they want things to go their way a long ways. So I'm not saying this very well, but basically they should be aware that they've got to back off a little bit if they're going to stay in the driver's seat at all.
Well, the thing that we need to do as citizens is we need to remember those people that have the attitude of, why read the bill? It takes 2 days and two lawyers just to, when we have our representatives that come out and say that they're not going to do their job, because that's the whole reason they're there. We also need to push for, we're not going to introduce a 2,000 plus page bill and expect it to be voted on a week later. It has to be the old way. It has to be put on the table, debated, and, if you don't have time to read it, or if you don't have, or not get enough time to go through the proper process, then you don't pass it. Period.
Well, the only problem I have with that is that nothing will ever get passed.
Well, if nothing gets passed, that may be a good thing anyways. I mean, you got a bunch of people that sit around up there whose only job is to make laws, and they don't even take the time. A lot of them, which is demonstrated by the Obama bill, the Affordable Health Care Act bill, well, it's too long, I don't have time to read it. Then don't vote in favor of it. Vote to suspend it. Vote to table it until another time. But don't just...
Well, that's it. Vote to table it. See, the thing is, these people that you're talking about that say they don't have time to read the bill, that's what they're being paid for.
Exactly.
We're paying them enough money to hire someone to read the bill and maybe hire someone to explain the bill to them and let them know what the bill is talking about. And if they aren't doing that, then what are they doing with that money that we're giving them to do that with? Because the money is being given to them. And they're allowed to spend it, and maybe they're not spending it on that. Maybe they're spending it on...
Maybe they're just spending their money worrying about whether or not some football player or whatever, some sports athlete has taken steroids, so they're having a congressional meeting over that, which I still don't understand why they're doing that. But... But in other words, not on the important stuff.
In other words, they could be spending it just as easily on golf clubs.
Right.
And,
the point is not doing their job. But yet, that's one of the reasons why Congress has a very low approval rating, is that they're not doing their job. And we need to insist that they do their job, and we need to remember their names. And by the way, speaking of, I wanted to just throw in there, because we're running out of time, that website, Truckers to Shut Down America, by the way, within the time of this program alone, has gained over 1,711 likes. That's within a 90-minute period of over 1,700. So, Mr. Biro, keep an eye on it. Go to the website and like them. That's Truckers Shut Down America. And let's see if we can send a message doing that. Let's make it 100,000 by the end of the week.
Let's do it. Let's remember to look it up again next week and find out what happened.
Exactly. It's on our Facebook page. So, next week. Bye.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.